Little Christmas. January the 6th, the Feast of the Epiphany, the 12th day of Christmas, also known as Little Christmas or Nullat Namam. This day signalled the end of the Christmas holiday for school children. The following poem recalls the time when a holy day of obligation was rigidly adhered to, plus the fun of the last day of the holiday.
It always snowed on Little Christmas, Nullat Namam. Church bells intertwined with snowflakes, and our house filled with ringing. The crib and the three wise men, gold, frankincense and myrrh. I an altar boy, in my white surplice and black soutane, again the Latin.
In tribo ad altare Dei.
The turibul and incense purifying the church, welcoming the light. The beginning of a new beginning. After the gospel, the very Reverend P.J. Dial, P.P., climbed the pulpit, fixed his eyes on the congregation, the seer and the seen. The coughing stopped. The book opened, Christmas Jews. Before the reading, the viewing. The church and its people. To the left, the poor. In the centre, working people. Right to the reserved aisle, the traders and professionals, paying a pew rent for the privilege. His first utterance of a thousand utterances, over his glasses he prayed them.
Will you people in the reserved aisle who have not paid your pew rent, please leave your seats immediately. I am looking at you. I know who you are.
Nobody moved. Again he pasted the issue.
Immediately! I said immediately!
Again, nobody moved. Faces red with shame, hidden under a battered fox skin or mink that had seen better days. A class beneath a class. He mumbled a few castigating words.
I will name you next Sunday.
Then the Christmas collection. He began on the estates.
Abbey Road, Abbey Terrace, Abbey Field, St. Bridget's Terrace, Highland View, Tower View, Sallins Road and Basin Street. £1, Nandwar, Edward Brough, Peter Fulham, Michael Brough. 10 shillings, Miss Gaynor, William Beaton, James Newell, Sean Lokeman, Liam Garvey, Liam Herbert.
Then a jumble of 50 other names, half a crown, Georgia Guilfoyle, an incoherent he ploughed through the list, neighbours waiting for neighbours, whispering as they picked out the contributions, the mystery of identification. Mrs. Maguire only gave 5 bob, the mean hussy. He went through a long dialogue, then paused.
£10, Mrs. Bridget Brough.
A widow from Basin Street. She had given all she had, a true Christian of the gospel. Then to Main Street, where he was always short-changed. They were in the reserved aisle.
Some of you over in the reserved aisle have not paid your pew rent. I will be publishing next Sunday. Will those of you who have not paid go elsewhere in the church?
His voice easier as he waded through the £1, £2 and the £5. After the exhaustive bout, with little revenue to show for it, he took a deep breath, again over his glasses roared.
Women of Nace, you are a disgrace, receiving the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, dressed like Maharani, painted like wild Indians, gypsies with bangles and jewels dangling from your ears. Women of Nace, wash your faces.
Again into the melodeon of offerings, after an exhaustive bout of incoherence, a deep breath.
£10, Mrs. Bridget Lawler.
She could afford £100, but at last it was all over. Exhausted, he attended his next duty, the wedding of working people, without his polyphonic choir, but a simple exchange of rings, the pronouncement.
Is anyone present aware of any consanguinity, affinity, or spiritual relationship, why these two should not be joined together?
The groom inquired what consanguinity was.
If it bit you, you'd know it.
A smile for the first time. After Mass, Father Dial turned to Johnny Creighton, his sacristan, and said,
Two things in life, John. If you smoke, have a woodbine. And if you drink, have a brandy.
However, it was pay time for the Mass servers. I followed the best man round the church, reminded him of his duty. He handed me a penny. I said the price was 10 bob. He dug deep, took out a 10 bob note, saying that Father Dial and the Mass servers had robbed him. I divided it up among the other servers, and we emptied Murphy's of bullseyes. Home for breakfast, afterwards out into the snow, the snowball fights from the railway bridge, our gang, Midgey, Griso, Barber, Lockie, and Scuthead, challenged the spikers led by the Grazier Higgins. His warriors, Baldy, Crocs, Spider, and Ginks Curtis. We pasted them from the bridge. Grazier saw himself as coaches. He howled the Indian battle cry, leading his army into a desperate struggle. Our major plot was to shower them with snow from a tree. It backfired and turned Scuthead into a snowman. We shook hands and went tobogganing on the Lachen. Afterwards, we covered the road with water, spent the night sliding on our hobnail boots. Mrs. Byrne roared for Charlie to come in. It was time to go. I slid home on the Diamond Road and readied myself for school next day.